Hello, this is Bob Kruger with Thought for Food for October 2017. This program is heard on the third Wednesday of the month at 4 p.m. and repeated on the third Saturday of the month at 3 p.m. The content of this program is intended for people who may be blind or print impaired, but hopefully it'll be of interest to everyone. In mid-July, Harris Teeter opened their newest and largest store in the Triangle at the corners at Briar Creek Shopping Center. And customers can toast its arrival with a glass of wine or one of 16 beers on tap at the in-store bar. The 67,000-square-foot, 24-hour-a-day store is capitalizing on grocery store as a gathering spot trend. Some other grocery stores in the region already offer beer and wine for customers to drink while they shop. But company spokeswoman Lee Ramsey said this is Harris Teeter's entry into the bar concept here. Customers, however, will be encouraged to stay within the bar area and not to shop with a glass in hand. The bar will offer local brews and North Carolina-made wines in keeping with a store-wide focus on local goods. The produce department, now labeled the farmer's market, along with the seafood and meat departments, all feature local products when available, Ramsey said. The store has four grinders for making almond and peanut butters. The meat department will make fresh pork and chicken sausage daily. The company expects customers to use the store as an alternative to a fast food or even a sit-down restaurant with salad and hot food bars, sushi, made-to-order subs, and fresh pizza. An Asian hot bar will be set up for lunch and supper, and an American hot bar will have all three meals. An event station will offer omelets on Saturday and Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. and a rotating menu of dinners throughout the week. Harris Teeter, the Matthews, North Carolina-based grocery chain bought by Kroger in 2014, is the third largest food retailer in the Raleigh market behind Walmart Supercenter and Foodland. The Briar Creek location is one of six new stores Harris Teeter plans to open in the Carolinas and Virginia this year. The competition among grocery chains in the Triangle has become more heated in the past few years as new supermarket chains such as Publix and Wegmans are attracted to this area. Ramsey could not say whether Harris Teeter would be making updates to other area stores such as the busy Cameron Village Harris Teeter. We try to respond to what customers tell us they want, said Dana Robinson, Harris Teeter's communications manager. Earlier in the year, Zagat, one of the authorities in restaurant guides, has named Piedmont Restaurant Executive Chef one of nine Southern chefs to watch this year. Chef John May, a Durham native, returned home in August to become chef of the Durham restaurant after 2.5 years as a sous chef at Vivian Howard's Kinston restaurant, The Chef and the Farmer. He was featured on several episodes of Howard's winning PBS series, A Chef's Life. The Zagat article came after the 12th annual Charleston Wine and Food Festival, where critics sampled food by May and from several North Carolina chefs. They came up with a list of nine pioneering chefs who you can expect big things from in the not-so-distant future. Here's why he's one to watch, according to writer Stephanie Burt. His calm demeanor translates into laid-back vibe at Piedmont, an extension of Coon Rock Farms, owned by the same couple. May's a big fan of chef's tweezers and petite greens for garnishes, but there's deep satisfaction for the diner in most dishes on the menu, especially the seafood, one of his passages, as well as veggie-forward offerings. His use of diverse produce from muscadines to beets to broccoli rabe is particularly exciting to see on any southern menu. Piedmont is owned by farmers Jamie DeMint and Richard Holcomb of Coon Rock Farm in Hillsboro and makes the most of the ingredients from the farm. The Piedmont restaurant is located at 401 Foster Street, Suite 401B2 in Durham. I have a friend who's told me that a number of donut shops are in a few blocks of Raleigh Creedmoor Road. Now this news release tells us that Dunkin' Donuts is planning to open seven new shops planned for Durham and Raleigh. Dunkin' Donuts announced on August 30th that it has signed a multi-store development agreement for seven new stores in the Raleigh-Durham area with the existing franchisee, Coastal Franchising Incorporated. The first of the new locations is expected to open next year. The locations are being scouted, though, so addresses of the new restaurants aren't available yet. Coastal Franchising already owns 39 Dunkin' Donut locations in the Carolinas, including 4 Dunkin' Donut restaurants and 1 Dunkin' Donut / Baskin-Robbins restaurant in the Triangle. With this expansion, the franchise group will more than double its Triangle footprint. We're excited to continue developing the Dunkin' Donuts brand in the Raleigh-Durham area, said George Ross, the chief executive officer of Coastal Franchising. As we expand throughout Raleigh-Durham over the next several years, we hope to attract new customers as well as longtime fans of the brand and show them the premium products and the quality of service we have to offer. There are over 200 Dunkin' Donut shops in North Carolina. It seems to me they're putting more emphasis on sandwiches and coffee than on the donuts. Many North Carolinians still think that a Krispy Kreme donut is hard to beat, but with all those calories in donuts, not many of us need to be eating too many of them. The local blueberry harvest is behind us, and I've enjoyed a handful of on my breakfast cereal many times. But here's a story from a Pittsburgh food writer who may think a bit different than you or I. He begins, "Summer after summer, I've been trying to bond with fresh blueberries, but it just doesn't happen. This is not for lack of trying. I've traveled miles to find different varieties of blueberries, sampled ones from farm stands, and those come with carbon footprints, analyzed the size, and popped in small, medium, and big ones. But I still don't really get them. When ripe, I find them squishy, not juicy, and flavorless, not sweet or tart. Just to be clear, it's not that I hate them. I don't love them either. It's more like I don't understand their mere existence. In a summer fruit salad amid melons, strawberries, grapes, and bananas, I wouldn't pick them out and toss them. But if they were missing in action, I certainly wouldn't miss them. I know, blueberries are considered the king of antioxidants, packed with vitamins C and K, low in calories, known to lower blood pressure. As much as I'm mindful of what I eat, I like fruits that have some brass, shall we say, and that's where blueberries let me down. Likewise, blueberries, to me, are just there, sucking up oxygen. When dissecting their taste and texture, they're just blah. Their sweetness does not stand out, so it would help if it was somewhat tart. But nope, they lack that too. There's nothing in their texture either. By the time you take your first chew, you're done with the fruit, and so you move on to the next berry and the next until you realize you have given your mouth a workout for nothing except to have stained teeth and a purplish tongue." He finishes his article saying, "Even though I would like them to have more taste as a fresh fruit, they're great in baked goods. The berries have a wonderful temperament toward high heat, softening well when baked, but hanging on to their shape. Also, cakes, bars, breads, and muffins look visibly stunning, studded with blue polka dots." This is one man's opinion. An unassuming, sand-colored building in a nearly deserted parking lot might house the solution to world hunger. Improved nature produces what it calls a quality plant protein, but most people would call it a meat alternative. The company, located in a 2,200-square-foot space in Garner, has been shipping its products since July, but celebrated its grand opening in September. Companies all over the world have been trying for decades to make a palatable, meatless protein product, but Improved Nature says it has created a way to bind plant protein together to make products that look and taste like meat and have a similar texture. "Fibers in the products make it seem like you're chewing meat," said Roddy Hawkins, the president and CEO of Improved Nature. "Meat is muscle fiber," he said. "We can duplicate those fibers and bind them without gum or starch." Dana Hansen, a meat scientist at NC State University, said the company's products could be light years ahead of what we've had. Comparing their products with other most meat alternatives, like talking apples and oranges, Hawkins said Improved Nature's products could feed the world's growing population, which is projected to approach 10 billion, that's with a B, by 2050. 5 pounds of traditional protein are needed to produce 1 pound of meat. Improved Nature uses 1 pound of protein to produce 5 pounds of a meat alternate. They're not making any more land that's suitable for growing crops, Hark said. In fact, we have less agricultural land each year, as water is going to be a more and more important resource. How are humans going to survive? The company's roots can be traced to Garner's ConAgra plant, which closed after a fatal explosion in 29. Improved Nature's 6 partners worked there, but had to move on to other interests before ConAgra left town. The partners had created over 300 new products, including meat snacks, luncheon meats, sausages, pizzas, and more. Hawkins helped to develop Lunchables, a favorite take-to-school lunch, and he helped develop a sandwich for the U.S. military that has a 3-year shelf life. The meat alternative products do not have GMO, gluten, fat, cholesterol, or starch. It's high in fiber, low in carbs, and low in calories. It contains all 10 essential amino acids, but little sodium. Its nutrition label is simple: water, soy protein concentrate, natural flavorings. And it can be presented as nuggets, strips, fillets, or even fish. It can be breaded or fried, frozen, and thawed. At a recent national meeting of school lunch representatives, Improved Nature served crispy tenders. Hawkins said the representatives were surprised to learn that the nuggets contained no chicken, just soy protein and flavoring. The greatest compliments we had have come from 3 vegetarians, Mr. Hawkins said. They said they didn't like our product because it was too much like meat. They thought they were criticizing us, but we were cheering. Improved Nature has been in discussion with $5 billion food companies, including one that cold called this summer and asked for a demonstration. But there are plenty of hurdles yet to clear, including marketing and branding. Hawkins said some big companies have spent years building a brand based on a meat product. And how does a soy-based product align with the consumer's conceptions? Improved Nature is clear that its goal is not to convince everyone to be a vegetarian. All of our partners are meat eaters, Hawkins said, but eating meat is not an option for a lot of people. This company really was formed to help feed people in the future, where it's difficult, if not impossible, to feed people with the processes we're using now. Improved Nature sees a potential market for military uses and especially humanitarian efforts. Hawkins foresees continually responding to a changing food environment. It sounds like a joke about the answer to a question at a pageant, but our company really does want world peace, Hawkins said, and there will be no peace if people cannot feed their children. We want to do what we can to eliminate world hunger. I can only say that being a meat eater, I would really like to sample some of Improved Nature's products. One of the things I find interesting in all the planning that take place that might affect where we may shop for food in the future, and here are a couple of examples. Wegmans is one step closer to bringing in one of 2 potential stores to carry. This one would anchor a development that would bring nearly 160,000 square feet of retail, including the 120,000 square foot Wegmans and office space to 21 acres on the southeast corner of Davis Drive and Airport Boulevard in Western Cary, adjacent to the Twin Lakes subdivision, 2 multi-tenant retail or office buildings, and a drive-through for either a restaurant or bank also is proposed for this site. This would be the first phase of a 2-phase project for Leland Alliance, a New York-based real estate development company. The first phase made it past a major hurdle when the Cary Town Council approved a sketch of the development plan. The council was considering whether to allow the drive-through and a building larger than 100,000 square feet on the site. The expectation is we will break ground in the spring of 2018, said Jason Hess, the senior vice president of Leland Alliance's commercial division, adding that stores could be open by mid to late summer of 2019. Headquartered in Rochester, New York, Wegmans has a fervent fan base. It's 94 grocery stores scattered throughout New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Virginia, Maryland, Massachusetts, boast a European open market feel. Stores feature a pharmacy, ready-made meals, a pizza shop, and a coffee shop, as well as groceries. All has been quiet on the Wahlburgers front for about a year, but the Boston-based burger bar from brothers Mark, Donnie, and Paul Wahlberg still plan to open in downtown Raleigh this year. The company's spokesperson said Wahlburgers is projected to open this fall at 319 Fayetteville Street. It'll be the first North Carolina location. The Raleigh franchise will be owned by Greg Pranzo, who opened another Wahlburgers location in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, last October. Wahlburgers first opened in 2011 in Hingham, Massachusetts, a suburb of Boston, and has since opened locations from coast to coast and from Michigan to Florida. For the past 3 years, an A&E reality show of the same name has followed the famous brothers. Both Donnie and Mark are successful actors. As they run the business, the restaurant features burgers stacked with a variety of toppings, sandwiches, salads, frappes and floats, and a child's menu. More Wahlburgers are planned for the Carolinas, with possible locations in Charleston and Charlotte previously reported. But the company says there are no more updates to comment on. I'm looking forward to trying one of those famous Wahlburgers. Recent news that Amazon.com had purchased Whole Foods and would cut prices has many Whole Foods customers looking for lower prices. But shoppers in the Triangle area say they have yet to feel the effects. The e-commerce giant closed its $13.7 billion, that's with a B, dollar deal with Whole Foods on August 26th and lowered prices on items like avocados, bananas, and tilapia. In the Triangle area, new signs featuring Amazon's logo in the Chapel Hill store advertise Farm Fresh, Amazon Echo, and Echo Dot. The moves are the beginning of Amazon's plan to shake up the grocery industry by making Amazon Prime the rewards program at Whole Foods and featuring Whole Foods products on Amazon's website. However, many Triangle customers say they haven't seen a noticeable drop in prices. The only prices lowered were those already overpriced high-end items, added Jay Schutte, who was shopping at a Whole Foods in Durham. The cheaper items aren't cheaper. It's just a luxury item, so that doesn't affect as much. But Mary Willard, who visits the fresh food bar at the Raleigh Whole Foods near her home, says she's seen prices increases in items like produce, meat, and bottled water. I'll report to you any further information I can find out about the future of the Amazon/Whole Foods arrangement. Here's some information for we who have a sweet tooth. Bread from La Farm Bakery can be found in every Whole Foods market in the Triangle, but soon you'll find a La Farm Bakery inside a new Whole Foods store in Cary. The new Whole Foods anchoring the Alston Town Center development will include a full-scale La Farm Bakery and Cafe when it opens later this year, instead of a selection of the farm's bread. This Whole Foods will make everything that can be found in the flagship bakery at Preston Corners, including pastries. The store is expected to open later this fall. La Farm is also expanding their original location at 4248 Northwest Cary Parkway, moving into space formerly occupied by an ABC store. The extra room will provide a few more seats in the cafe and a new room for private events. This expansion is expected in late September, according to a news release. The growth builds on an already active year for the popular Cary Bakery. The demand for their crusty loaves and baguettes and airy pastries led to this summer's opening of a new production facility in downtown Cary. It's still all around the bread, said Lionel Valente, who started La Farm Bakery in 1999 with his wife, Missy. Since then, La Farm has been recognized nationally, added a food truck, as well as a presence at the State Farmers Market. Lionel has been named a semifinalist for the James Beard Award for Outstanding Baker for 3 years. Whole Foods said the quality of LaFarge bread and bakery's role in highlighting specific grains and mills led to the in-store cafe collaboration. The quality and taste of their breads and baked goods, as well as the overall mission of the LaFarge bakery, align with the core values that sets Whole Food Markets apart, said Colleen Conrad, a culinary and hospitality director for Whole Foods Southern Region. We're thrilled to welcome Master Baker Lionel Van Today and his team at our newest store. And while the Whole Foods spot will give LaFarge free bakeries with bread going to all corners of the triangle, Missy Valente says the couple doesn't know how much bread they make. We get that question a lot, she says. We don't talk about how many loaves we make because we haven't sat down and figured it out exactly. Maybe we should one day. We focus on putting all of our energy into perfecting each single loaf. Though they baked on an industrial scale, or at least a regional industrial scale, they've resisted the temptation to automate things, and they're not likely to change. A lot of bakeries move to automation, but that's not a choice we've taken, Missy Valente said. There's nothing different in what we do now than what we did 20 years ago. It's a three-day process for natural bread, hand-shaped, slow-proof, either 12, 16, or 18 hours. And there are more hands than just Lionel's. They held a job fair on September 23rd. The bakery is looking for retail associates, baristas, line cooks, bakers, pastry producers, and managers. It sounds like they're really going places. With high quality products, they should do very well, and we wish them continued success. A new Durham pie shop has found more time in the day for dessert. The sun rises and sets as the Pie Hole sells pies as his new shop that opened recently on Durham's 9th Street, some nights until midnight. The Durham Pie Hole is the seventh to open in the world and the first outside of Los Angeles or Tokyo. The pie menu is both sweet and savory, with respect and twists on the classics like a towering apple pie made with Granny Smith's or a spicy Mexican chocolate and salted caramel pecan pie. But the Pie Hole has a few whimsical creations of its own. There's the creamy and subtle Earl Grey tea pie and the serial killer cheesecake with fruity pebbles in the batter and frosted flakes sprinkled on the top for crunch. As for savory pies, just know that you're now living in a world with a mac and cheese pot pie. Pie Hole also has tried and true shepherd's pie with beef instead of lamb, chicken and cornbread pot pie, and a curried vegetable pot pie. Carrie Couple Young and Shirlene Lee opened the Pie Hole in Durham after looking throughout the triangle, they said. The company has a no-strips mall rule, and its location below 810 9th Street Apartments extends Durham's lively 9th Street corridor of shops and restaurants. Very quickly, it was clear this is where we wanted to be, Young Lee said. Durham has such a great food community. The Durham Pie Hole will be the first franchise to sell alcohol, offering wines, draft, and bottled beers and cocktails. Lindsay Hollister, whose husband Matthew Hollister founded Pie Hole, came to Durham from Los Angeles to help launch the shop. I'd like to check the Pie Hole out. Do you use herbs to season your vegetables instead of salt? If not, have you thought you might like to try this method of seasoning some of your foods? One thing that can be confusing is whether you're using fresh or dried herbs. The following amount of herbs in different forms are generally equivalent to each other. 1/4 to half a teaspoon of ground herbs, 1 teaspoon of crumbled dried herbs, and 1 tablespoon of finely cut fresh herbs are all about equal when used in your cooking. Remember that 1 tablespoon equals 3 teaspoons when measuring. If you use a herb or a spice in a recipe and find it doesn't add much flavor, it may just be old. The flavor of dried herbs and spices diminishes over time. If these seasons have little or no aroma when you rub them between your fingers and lack flavor, it's time to replace them. To prolong shelf life, store herbs and spices in tightly closed jars away from heat, light, and moisture, not above the stove or by a window. Mark the date of purchase on the label when you buy them, and here's a general guide for how long to store them. Herbs such as thyme, 1 to 3 years. Ground spices, such as ground red pepper, 2 to 3 years. Whole spices, such as cinnamon sticks, 3 to 4 years. Seasoning blends, such as Italian seasoning, 1 to 2 years. Extracts, such as lemon extract, 4 years, except for vanilla extract, which lasts indefinitely. If you have a container of breadcrumbs or grits on the pantry shelf, you might want to ask yourself this question. How long has it been since I used this? We've heard a lot of discussions about the amount of food we waste in a year's time, and here are some tips on how to address this problem. Be mindful that old ingredients and leftovers need to be used first. Shop in your refrigerator first. Cook or eat what you already have at home before buying more. Have produce that's past its prime and might still be fine for cooking. Think of making soups, casseroles, stir fries, sauces, baked goods, pancakes, or smoothies. Freeze, preserve, or can surplus fruit and vegetables, especially when it's in abundance during the season. Plan your meals for a week before you go shopping. Buy only what is needed for those meals. Buy only what you need and will use. Buying in bulk saves money only if you're able to use the food before it spoils. Put older food items in front of the refrigerator. This day you'll end up using them first. Good luck in taking these hints to heart and begin to use them. Kroger, the Cincinnati-based grocer that owns Harris Teeter, is suing Lidl for trademark infringement just 2 weeks before the German-based competitor opened its first stores in the Carolinas and Virginia. In the complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Virginia, Kroger claims that Lidl's house brand preferred selection resembles Kroger's own brand private selection. Both companies use the respective brands for their private label foods. Kroger is seeking an injunction to prohibit Lidl from using the preferred selection brand in its stores. Kroger said that Lidl's preferred selection brand registered last year takes advantage of Kroger's loyal customer loyalty by intentionally leading customers to believe that Lidl's products have a relationship with Kroger's private selection brand. Lidl is misrepresenting to our consumers and contributing to the ability of others to misrepresent that the goods and services of Lidl are sponsored by or certified by Kroger, or that Kroger is the source of the same, according to the complaint. The German grocer Lidl opened its first U.S. stores in Virginia and the Carolinas this summer and plans to have 100 stores opened across the East Coast by next summer, according to a press release. Currently, it operates more than 10,000 stores in 27 countries. The company is building a regional headquarters in Alamance County, about 55 miles northeast of Raleigh. Whatever I find out regarding the course action, I'll pass along to you. It looks like we about run out of time for today's episode of Thought for Food. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Bob Kruger, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And so long until next time, next month. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. And remember that the month of October is Pumpkin Month, and we'll be looking at pumpkins in stores and all every day. Take care.